In this week's Classical Music According to Yehuda, Alan Shartok and Yehuda Hanani continue their conversation about Johann Sebastian Bach.
Yehuda Hanani, always a pleasure to see you and your smiling face here, and you're running all over the country, and you're taking flights.
What do you mean the country? The world.
The world, you are, and you're teaching, and we're so flattered to be able to get you in here.
I'm very happy to be here always, Alan.
Okay, so let's talk a little about, we've been talking about Bach, and, you know, back in them days, there was a tremendous emphasis on church music, theology, and the connection between music and theology. And Bach, of course, was incredibly devoted to that subject.
Absolutely, absolutely. As we said the last time, his music is really a fusion of theological ideas and of course, music. His deep attachment to Luther and Lutheranism was essential in forming his worldview and his writing. So little had changed in Eisenbach in the two centuries that separated Bach and Luther. They were both from this same town. They both attended the same Latin school. They sang in the same choir at the same church. It was the Lutheran hymns that Johann heard as a child that later reappear in his cantatas. But it goes beyond liturgical music. Luther considered music a divine gift wherever it was. The whole purpose of harmony is the glory of God. That's what he claimed. Unlike the Calvinists, by the way, who banned music altogether. So he and his followers appropriated secular melodies, bawdy folk songs, and redirected them and their earthiness to the service of the church and the faith. So in that case, the initials that Bach used at the bottom of his great works, SDG, Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone is the glory, this motto applies to everything he wrote. The cantatas, the coffee cantatas, the concerti, the Brandenburg concerto, they all proclaim SDG. This attitude of towards secular music, including it as part of the divine gift, explains how at the conclusion of the Goldberg Variations, which is a sublime, profound work filled with double canons and all sorts of sophisticated, challenging, mathematical, religious issues.
I'm glad you're here because I always wanted to ask you, who was Goldberg?
Goldberg was the harpsichord player of a certain nobleman, a count. Yeah. This count was an insomniac. He couldn't fall asleep. So Mr. Goldberg, his harpsichord player, would be summoned to the room next door and he would play the harpsichord to help him go to sleep. And Bach wrote this piece.
In his sleep.
It's the last thing that would put anyone to sleep. It is so challenging and so complicated. But I guess he would lie in bed and just enjoy the variations. There were 30 of them, each one more beautiful than the other.
But Bach wrote them.
Bach wrote them.
Yeah, and absolutely. Goldberg just played the
Goldberg
piano.
Was the
piano
player.
Yeah.
Yeah, the harpsichord player.
Of course.
But at the end of the 30th variations, which is really, the entire piece is a religious statement, really. A naughty popular song appears. It was popular at the time. The words are, "It's been ages since I saw you. Come closer. Cabbage and beet drove me away, ooh, far away."
Ooh.
You get it?
Yeah.
If you don't get it, if you need some explanation, instead of far away, you can add a T in the middle there.
And then we got it.
And then you got it.
Now,
right.
Of course, this is something that has been going on for a long time. The Star Spangled Banner was a drinking song.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and it got transposed.
But you know, it's very interesting, the idea that you can redeem a melody, and there was a famous Hasidic rabbi, 200 years ago. His name was Nachman from Breslau, and he believed that you could redeem melodies the way you can redeem people. And his Hasidim, his followers, would bring tunes from they would go by a nightclub or
really?
And they would bring those melodies over and they would reuse them in religious services. So it's very much like Luther. It's the same idea that there's sanctity to music and it needs to be taken away from the low level and elevated to spiritual.
That's fascinating. That is really fascinating. Yeah. So I guess of course, it goes the other way around, too.
Absolutely. You can degrade anything. That's easy.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So why don't we listen to the 30th variation of the Goldberg Variations, going into this funny song and then the concluding aria played by Glenn Gould. And by the way, he recorded it twice as a young man and then right before he died. And those two performances exist next to each other. And it's fascinating to compare.
And I will never go to sleep without thinking of Goldberg playing on the harpsichord in the next room.
Right.
Glenn Gould playing Goldberg Variation 30, recorded in 1955. Before that, Alan Shartok speaking with Yehuda Hanani. Yehuda's Close Encounters with Music series in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, will present a program entitled J.S. Bach and Sons, Legitimate and Otherwise, on Saturday, March 19th at 6 p.m. For more information, visit cewm.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.